Alleluia, he is risen as he said. This is not just pious words, but it is the reality that we celebrate this day. This day is not just a big Sunday, not just a day that we celebrate with a little bit more solemnity, a little bit more joy, but it is the day that marks all Sundays and gives all Sundays their power. Because Sunday after Sunday, we gather and we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And we celebrate him in the most unique way as Catholics, as Christians, in drawing ourselves back, as we heard on Thursday, our Lord, before he suffered and died, took bread, blessed, broke it, gave it to them, so that we would have a memorial, a way to be drawn into the mystery, a way to be drawn into that moment, to stand at the foot of Calvary again. Not that we're re-crucifying Christ, but we're drawn into that first and only crucifixion, that first and only sacrifice, the eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because he, as God, stands outside of time and draws us in time into that moment. As he dies on the cross, as only man can do, he redeems us as only God can do. There's something blessed about this. Now, last night, we gathered and we celebrated. Oh, and it was a celebration. Although the church did not shake like we prayed during the Exalted as much as it could have or should have, and which is really sad. Someday I want more of the roof, more of the ceiling to fall down during the Easter liturgy. It didn't last night, by the way. To shake with such joy, to rattle as much as the earthquake did with that first resurrection, to shake with joy. Oh, we blessed fire and lit the Paschal candle, blessed the Paschal candle, which is a symbol of the resurrection of Christ, the light of Christ that is coming into the world. I have to admit, the procession last night was wonderful. Here's an opportunity. Give us a reason to have to build on to the church, to come to the Easter Vigil. But everyone came out, they witnessed and watched that Paschal fire being blessed, the candle being blessed, and processing into the church, entering into church that was fairly dark, except somebody forgot to turn off that light over by the side door. And having the light of Christ coming in, so much so that it was bright and people could see. And this is what we were before Christ, in the dark. In darkness because of sin, original sin because of Adam and Eve. But that original sin is not how it was originally to be. In fact, as we gathered, we read from the creation account of how God created the heavens and the earth, separated the night from the day and the land from the sea and all these things, and created animals that swim in the sea and birds that fly in the sky, and then the crawly creatures and the cattle and all these things, and then humans. And with everything, he said, it is good. It is blessed. It is holy, perhaps. And of course, we only have to turn two chapters. The one commandment that God had given, do not eat, well, actually more than one, because go forth and multiply is a commandment too. But do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve breaking that commandment, and in doing so, separating themselves from God, the God who created them in love, the God who held them, wanted to be with them, the God that up to that moment would walk in the cool of the evening with man. Now separated, God had a plan, and we hear that plan. And we heard, too, the crossing of the Red Sea, the ultimate Passover, as the children of the Hebrews were led by Moses across the sea, being chased by Pharaoh's chariots and charioteers, and in terror, thinking their lives were over. They were going to be sent back to Egypt, back into slavery, but how God told Moses to raise his arms and parted the waters, and they passed through dry shod. God's power displayed. God would not do that unless there was something good about us. And God, knowing there is something good about us. And we heard the prophecies of Isaiah that God would give us water, that we were to draw it joyfully, that we were to come and that there's nothing we can do to pay for it, but it's God's free gift. And that waters that we see in front of us this day, as we blessed holy water last night and took it upon ourselves again after we renewed our baptism promises, something we will do again today, something that reminds us that we were claimed for Christ, buried in a death like his in baptism, and risen to new life. The hope that we have as Catholics, as Christians, is eternal life. That Christ redeems us, saves us. And while we were blessed for that first moment of our creation, a blessedness that is hidden, not destroyed ultimately, we're restored to something greater, something more, something bigger. We're given a deeper blessedness. And we sing it in the Exalted. And we sing it year after year. And unless we have ears of faith, we might ask, well, why? Oh, happy fault, oh, necessary sin of Adam, which gave us so great a Redeemer. Really, the fall was necessary? Yes. Because only through the fall and the resurrection of Jesus Christ do we have the promise of eternal life, a life with God for all eternity. That our bodies, as they decay, fall apart, even in this world. Let's be honest, unless we're really young and very healthy, most of us have experienced some sickness. Our bodies decay. But in the resurrection of Christ, we receive a new body, a resurrected body, a body that is eternal, made not by man, but by God. That because of the resurrection of Christ, we have eternal hope. A blessedness beyond our imagining. And we hear this morning of the foot race of John and Peter to the tomb. And while John was the first to get to the tomb, he was also the first to see and believe. Notice, even last night, we did not hear of somebody who saw the resurrected Christ. Instead, last night, we heard of a man, a young man, an angel, sitting in front of the tomb, saying, why are you amazed? He told us. He told you that he was going to be raised from the dead. Why are you amazed? Overjoyed, perhaps we should be, but not amazed. Because amazement implies doubt. There was no doubt that our Lord had a plan. No doubt that he would be raised from the dead. No doubt whatsoever. So why are we amazed? We should be overjoyed. And even today, as we hear of Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb, and almost in despair, they've taken the Lord and we don't know where he put him. Why? Why did she doubt? No, we see the empty tomb. We see the burial cloths lying there. Oh, not with eyes of our bodies, but with eyes of faith. And we know that it means something. It means that Christ has truly been raised from the dead, just as he said, and that we have life eternal, that we are given a life of blessedness that begins today. It begins every time we come to that moment of faith. And our psalm response today might seem odd. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It makes sense only if we remember Memorial, It's not just a calling to mind, as we reflected on Thursday, as I reflected already a little this morning, but it's being drawn into that one eternal mystery of entering into that time, that place. This day, not only do we stand at Calvary, but we stand also at the tomb that's empty. Praise God. A tomb that's empty because he has risen just as he said, and we have been given eternal blessedness.